Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. We were talking at the end of about Carlos Delgado, and then transitioning to the sporting world and coaching positions in this particular case, and the decisions to leave a particular team. And this is as I was mentioning, Ole Miss, named Lane Kiffin, and for 3 weeks or a month, the big story was whether he was going to leave Ole Miss. 11-1, I think is what the Ole Miss is. Their number, I think, six in the ranking. He's done an incredibly great job at Ole Miss. And an opening in Florida and LSU have come up, and he was one of the top contenders. And the question was, is he going to leave Ole Miss? And if he did, which of the two he would go to? At LSU, they had Brian Kelly, the former Notre Dame coach, lost his job because LSU wasn't doing as well as they expect. And had to pay him something like $50 million penalty for the early cancellation of his contract. So he, cried all the way to the bank. And so that position was open. And he basically, you're talking about, two major state important football teams, and even the governor in LSU gets involved in who is coaching and what the team is doing. He announced this weekend that he's going to take the LSU job, and leaving Ole Miss. And Ole Miss decided that he's not going to be in the coaching for the playoffs, although he will if the team does well. He can get up to, I think, $1 million bonus, even though he's not coaching during the playoffs. The LSU job is $13 million a year. I think he was receiving $11 million from Ole Miss. So for $2 million, he jumped. And he'd be the second best paid coach in the country. Kirby Smart of Georgia gets $13.2 million. But if he does really well at LSU, he can make, I believe it's about $3 million more. So you're talking about somebody at this new job, potential $16 million a year. And, he had 11 at Ole Miss. The players are kind of upset and people are, But that's the way the cookie crumbles these days. With $11 million a year for most people, just 1 year, you really don't need anything more the rest of your life. You certainly don't need another $2 million. But the salaries for a lot of these athletes and I think happens with entertainers and probably with a lot of other professionals. The salary is not so much the material money that comes to them, but the ranking they have, the standing they have, within their particular profession. In this case, football, college football profession. So be it. There's a great story of the Indiana coach. I read this morning. His development, slow but sure. In Indiana, he's made it into a powerhouse. Undefeated. We'll be playing this Saturday against Ohio State. It's the number one in the two team I think that's the Big Ten. Ohio State and them. So see which of the two win. And again, that's a story, spend half an hour discussing his development as a coach and how critical a coach can be in as he moved from one team to another and made them victorious. He has an incredible record as he went through, and he's had Incidentally, one of the teams that one of the schools he was a coach for was Indiana University at Pennsylvania. So, and his father had been a coach there. But anyway, so that's Indiana, Ohio State. Let's see what happens. And depending on how things go, the team I've been following and been favoring, Notre Dame, won easily over Stanford and yet dropped one standing from 8 to 9. And, you know, depending on how things go, it may get knocked out of the top 12 for the playoffs. So, you know, the Notre Dame people are nervous. It'll depend on what happens this weekend and a couple of games, the BYU game and I think an Alabama game. So we'll see where that goes. And talking about the opinion section of El Nuevo Día, Anabel Torres Colberg came out this is an article 3rd of December, La derrota de Luma ante el Tribunal Supremo. I don't go too often into the legal things that are happening with decisions of the Supreme Court, but in this case, it's brought a great fame to the DACO head. She brought an action against Luma on behalf of the consumers whose electrical equipment is ruined by outages and drops in wattage, etc. And the Supreme Court said that the release that was given, the immunity that was given by contract to Luma, was unconstitutional; that it couldn't be granted by the entity that governs the electrical system, and that that has to be done by the legislature. And so, it was declared an illegal immunity that they had. And there's been just tons of discussions on that. My take is that, you know, when you have a contract and you bring somebody in and they do their assessment based on negotiations they've done in good faith to then eliminate the contractual immunity that they had is not good for our credibility. That's my take, but I'm not arguing that the legal decision is wrong. It's just that it just seems to be not good for Puerto Rico, and what most people are saying, and I agree that it looks like it's going to be difficult for the consumers to really prevail in recovering when their electrical equipment gets ruined, and because they have, you know, for the amount of money that they're going to be claiming, the kinds of efforts that are going to take place is just doesn't make it practical. And more importantly, and some, you know, is that the decision as to whether Luma is the one responsible for that happening is going to be difficult. To a great extent, they're the distributors. They're not the ones that produce the power. And so there's that. And then there's all kinds of force majeure things that they can't take care of and handle. They've inherited a very disastrous system. So it's going to be very, very complicated on a given moment to really pinpoint that the negligence is belongs to Luma and who was just operating a system with all kinds of inputs from private entities and from the government itself. That to a certain extent, the DACO, the government, was kind of suing itself. It's a weird situation that has developed, and overall unfortunate. I think the results, and I think most people at the end, it's a good chance that we, the consumers, are going to end up paying the whatever finally costs to take care of the damages on electrical equipment that consumers have. So, you know, that's but this article by Anibal Torres Goldberg, in analyzing the decision, I found kind of interesting in the sense that and it brings me to the topic I mentioned. It says that, dice, por ejemplo, en auténtica defensa del consumidor, podría solicitársela a la gobernadora que desista de celebrar aquí el concurso de Miss Universe y utilice esos 10 millones para crear un fondo to help the peritos, the electricistas, to help the consumers bring their case. That doesn't seem too practical, but it brought to mind this the Miss Universe contest has been so chaotic is the word, and when a few weeks ago the governor announced that the next Miss Universe was going to be in Puerto Rico, and we're going to pay $10 million for it. It seemed like a good decision. I mean, I came out the. It was right at the end of the Bad Bunny concerts, and it was kind of adding a new momentum, something new to Puerto Rico. But looking back, now knowing what we know, it looks like a disastrous decision. The Miss Universe has so many problems right now. As you know, the Miss Mexico won it, and so, but there's been so much controversy. One thing, the person who was directing the Miss Universe in Thailand, Nawats, criticized her and told her to sit down and shut up, and that became a big scandal of mistreating a contestant. Then, of course, she wins, and it so happens that the almost 50% co-owner of the Miss Universe, his name is Raul Rocha Cantu, is Mexican. There's no indication, that she won because of that, but it doesn't smell right. Okay, I mean, and then. All kinds of little things happened. There was a Miss Jamaica fell and fractured, and in fact is still hospitalized, recovering from that. And it turned out to be a very serious, incident for her. The other thing that occurred is the Ivory Coast, who most people. She thought she should have won, and a lot of people thought she should have won. This Raul Rocha said that after the contest, explaining why she didn't win, in his opinion, which is disastrous, and his offering this opinion, says it's because she needs 175 visas throughout the world in order to travel. So, why? Allow somebody to be a contestant that needs visas, if that's going to be a criteria for you not winning. It's just very unfair. She was Miss Africa and Oceania. There's awards for continent, and she has those huge continents, and she turned over. And said she didn't want to be Miss Universe. Obviously, didn't say it directly, but obviously was very hurt by what she understood was unfair. The judging. I liked the Mexican Fatima Bosch Fernandez is her name. One of the things is she's. 5'7", she's relatively small. I sort of reflecting on things of my in my past, and back in the mid-90s, I don't remember it was 90, you know, what the date year was. I was asked to be a judge for the Puerto Rico Miss Universe. And in terms of the things that you know, we were to look for, and because we were looking for a contestant, a winner that would have a really good chance at the world level, at the global level, and we were, you know, we were told that the person chosen should be relatively tall. I mean, 5'9", 5'10", at most. Of course, you know, I'm 5'5", 5'5", so I always kind of bristle at older people being advantageous. But that was a statement, and it has been a relative, you know, fact that you had to be taller. But Miss Mexico is 5'7", and I'm very pro Mexican. That's a prejudice I have, so I was relatively happy. She went. I would listen to different people. The one who does quite a bit of YouTube, Danny Walker, and she put Puerto Rico very high. And one of the things she mentioned, and that it kind of went along with my thought, is that. She lost a little bit with in terms of the way handling the evening dress, that it was a feathery kind of thing, and it wasn't creative enough, different enough. It was, you know, the same thing that a lot of other contestants had, and I thought she should have just dropped the shawl and all those. So this Danny Walker was kind of in agreement with me. There was as I said at the beginning of the program, I spent too much time listening to the YouTube and writing and reading articles, but there was an incredible, interesting YouTube by Steve Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, who was the host, you know, for the Miss Universe, and he's a stand-up comic, and he is describing the whole process, and he thought that. Ivory Coast, Miss Ivory Coast was the best, and was surprised with the Mexican. But he was just describing how there's just no leadership and the chaos, and how badly everything was run from the piece of paper that he was given. You know, that was kind of he had to sort of hide, you know, what because it was, you could see through it, or somebody could, you know, scan it from, and also. The whole process was chaotic, and he felt so bad for the contestants with all the things that were happening, because not only what happened there, but the Thailandese Anne of the company JKN is in bankruptcy, and she has been. Brought cases of criminal cases against her. And the same thing's happening with the other partner, Raul Rocha, is also criminal cases being brought. So it's just a disaster what's been happening with Miss Universe at all levels and that particular thing. So, okay, we've run out of time in the second segment. We'll be back right after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.